and things started getting interesting. And damn fool Raven mooned around in the middle of it all, thinking he could just walk over and take up with darlin', like he hadn't walked out on her and let her think he was dead for a bunch of years. The damn fool. I know more about sorcery than he'll ever know about women. So they let the old evil come up out of the ground. Then they jumped all over it. It was so big and black they couldn't kill its spirit, only its flesh. So they burned that flesh to ash and scattered the ash and imprisoned its soul in a silver spike. They drove the spike into the trunk of a sapling that was the son of some kind of god that would live forever and grow around it and keep it from ever causing any more grief. Then they all went away. Even darling, with some guy named Silent. There were tears in her eyes when she went. Some of that feeling for Raven was still there inside her. But she was not going to open up and let him do it to her again. And he stood there watching her go, dumbstruck. He couldn't figure out why she would do that to him. Damn fool. Chapter 2. It was weird that nobody else thought of it right away. But maybe that was because people were more taken with what had happened between the lady and the White Rose, and were wondering what that would mean to the Empire and the Rebellion. For a while, it looked like half the world was up for grabs. Everybody who was the sort to do some grabbing was eyeballing his or her chances and scouting around to see if they might get turned into eunuchs if they tried. So it was up to some second-rate hustlers from Orr's Northside to take first whack at stealing the Silver Spike. The news from the Barrowland was still in the shithouse rumor stage when Tully Stahl came pounding on the door of the room where his cousin Smed Stahl stayed. The room Smeds lived in had no furnishings except roaches and dirt, half a dozen mildewed stolen blankets, and half a gross of empty clay wine jugs that he never got around to taking back. They made him pay deposit at the Thorn and Crown. Smeds called the jugs his life savings. If times got really tough, he could trade 8 empties for a full. Tully said that was a dumb way to do things. Whenever Smeds got ripped and pissed, he started throwing things around. He wasted his savings. The shards never got picked up either, just kicked against one wall where they formed a dusty badland. When Tully got on him, Smeds figured he was just putting on airs because he was flush. Tully had 2 married women giving him presents for helping out around the house when the old man was gone. And he was living with a widow he was going to clean out as soon as he found some other woman to take him in. He thought being a success gave him the right to dish out advice. Tully pounded on the door. Smeds ignored him. The Kinbro girls from upstairs, Marty and Sheena, 11 and 12, were there for their music lessons. The 3 of them were naked and tumbling around on the ratty blankets. The only instrument in sight